You are now listening to the EU Startups Podcast.
I'm joined now by Dag, the CEO and co-founder of Sitassist. Welcome, Dag.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Of course. No, it's a pleasure. I thought we could begin, before we get into the set of questions, if you could give us just a quick summary, as much for me as for the audience, to just have an understanding of what Sitassist is, what it offers, and even maybe the background of how it began.
Ooh, how much time do we have? So we are a control of works platform. And when I say that, we make sure that safety critical processes are being followed and adhered to. So say, for example, you work on a big infrastructure project. You need to dig a hole in the ground because you're doing excavation work. There might be cables that are hidden. So before you dig, you need to make sure that you're not going to hit those cables. Mm-hmm. So before you start digging and a bucket goes in the ground, you have tons of safety processes that needs to be done and checklists to be filled out. It's called a permit to dig, for example. We digitize that and then we build in safety hold points to make sure that things are actually being done and not just a tick in the box. You know, for example, another example, let's say you're doing welding and one of the questions on the form is, do you have a fire extinguisher at the point of work? In many cases, it will just be a tick in the box exercise and say, yeah, I have a fire extinguisher. And then when the incident happens, it turns out there was no fire extinguisher. In Sitassist, it will be, do you have a fire extinguisher? Yes. Okay, you have to take a live photograph to prove that you have a fire extinguisher. Then we have an AI model that will detect, is there in fact a fire extinguisher in this photo? And is it the correct type of fire extinguisher because you're doing welding? And then that goes to an approver who can then review everything, make sure that everything is in place before the work can start. So that's in a nutshell what we do. We manage sort of high-risk work across construction, infrastructure, nuclear, any high-risk industry, really.
So where did this come from? What was the idea behind it that kind of spawned this whole company?
So I've been in construction tech for nearly a decade now. So I've seen kind of the industry evolve a little bit, but it's still, there's a lot of inefficiencies. The one thing I'm a little bit allergic to is that every big construction company and sort of the really big general constructors, they all say safety is the most important thing for us. But then when you come to the site, safety is very much just a tick in the box exercise that needs to be done. It's seen as an admin rather than something is beneficial. And I'm not saying that's because the companies are doing something wrong. It's just because there hasn't been tools that have enabled them to kind of enhance the safety processes to make them easy to follow. So it's just, yeah, that kind of inspired us to make safety more accessible and easy to follow. That was really the main. But I think it's never been, for us, it's never been about digitization. It's been about saving lives. Mm-hmm. So everything we do is with safety in the back of the mind. Like, how can we leverage digital technology and at the same time make sure that people go home safe? Does that make sense?
Sure. So then why would you say that these kind of safety procedures, adherence to safety procedures, kind of get lost? Is it because a construction site by nature is such a messy and complex
place?
Yeah,
and that there's so many. So I like to talk about like safety response. So the problem we've had is, any high-risk industries, especially construction, there will always be incidents and there will be near misses. It's almost impossible to get rid of them completely. The problem we've had is, in sort of history and from my experiences, an incident happens and then it's like, oh, let's put another procedure on top of an existing procedure to make it even more complex to carry out the task. So it's almost become, a lot of companies think compliance is another piece of paper. So there's another admin task that needs to be done. So the worker who's doing this task all of a sudden is like, okay, I know I'm going to dig a hole, but there's 45 different documents that I need to fill in. And I need to collect one document over there, the other one at the site office, the other one at the foreman. Yeah. Like, they're not, that's not their job. but that has become their job with time because there's been so many incidents. So we try to take all these documents, combine them into one, and in a digital format that makes it really, really easy to follow.
So then can you give me like a specific example? Because I think it's always important to ground these things in something an audience can understand. Say, okay, that's how Citus is to help. Is there a specific story that you can give us where you feel really made an impact?
I mean, if we look at big infrastructure projects, for example, we have different tons of modules now, but where we started off and where our growth came from was a module called Permits to Work, like I've touched upon, and mainly around utilities. So digging holes in the ground and making sure that you don't hit utilities. So we work with one of the largest infrastructures in Europe, our infrastructure projects in Europe. And by implementing Site Assist for all of their excavation work, we have reduced the numbers of service strikes with something like 90% over the last 3 years. And one service strike can A, cost a life, but it also costs you on average 150,000 euros or pounds. So an example is, let's say I'm someone who is an engineer on site. I know that I have 10 guys or girls, they're going to come and dig a hole. I'm in charge of doing the safety procedure, aka filling out the permit to dig. Mm-hmm. So how it used to be was I would drive out to where the excavation would take place. I would have to fill out different types of paperwork that I've brought with me, take photographs with my phone or digital camera, drive back to the site office, which can be like a 30-minute drive because these projects are huge. So drive back, sit in front of my computer, fill out all these Word documents, go to the scanner, scan the photos that are taken or upload them onto a USB stick or whatever you do, and put together this massive document pack of probably 50, 60 pages. Then I have to print all of those things, drive back to the point of work, and then stand and brief out this information to the people who are actually digging the hole, right? That's kind of consensus. And in between that, you need to get approvals, etc. What Site Assist do is we take all these documents, we digitize them, put in these digital hold points. So all I would have to do is I will go to the point of work, open Site Assist, follow the prompts and answer the questions, take photographs, upload documents, click one button that goes directly to the office for approval. The approver can then review it and say, yeah, everything is in order, or can you give me another photo of this? It gets approved. Then because the briefing should happen at the place of work, we geolocate the briefing. So I'll say, I'm at the location. Now I can brief this out to the people who are digging the hole, and then work can commence. So it's hard to explain when people are not familiar with the exact procedures, but in that filling out the document, there are tons of different checkpoints. So one is you have to upload a photograph, or you have to upload your risk assessment. And then we make sure that the risk assessment, which could also be a 20-page PDF, is actually mentioning the right things. Mm. So we build a lot of features within the process that are basically compliance warnings. So when these documents come to the approver, they will already see, ooh, Site Assist has flagged up that there are five things that I should probably have a look at before I approve this. Mm. And then on a big scale, because some of our projects, they generate thousands of these per month. Thousands. We have one project that do 30,000 a month. That's the size of it. So imagine if you have simultaneous operations, you need to be able to map all these activities and be like, I know that David is digging a hole there, Dag is welding there, but actually Dag shouldn't be welding next to someone painting with paint that can actually ignite. So that's what we do. We can then give you an holistic overview and be like, what is happening? Where is it happening and by whom? And make sure that you can control that. If you do that on paper, imagine you have 30,000 documents on paper. There is no chance. Even 50 people can manage those processes by paper. So a lot of things were just being approved, but no one really knew about it. And there was no communication except between the team and the person approving.
Okay. Well, you make it sound very well, and of course that's part of what your duty here. So it makes complete sense, and I believe you. But I'm kind of curious to hear about maybe what resistance you've encountered. Because, you know, you're introducing a digital tool
yeah.
into what is a sector that's very physical.
Yeah.
And I just kind of want to hear if you have any examples maybe of resistance you've encountered to the technology.
I think, I mean, there will always be resistance. And I think construction in general, I think a lot of the boardroom members or C-level executives in construction companies, their first reluctancy when we meet them is always, our workforce is not tech savvy. It's an old workforce. They don't know how to work with an iPhone and iPad. I always then say, but why does he have a betting app on his phone? Or he has Instagram on his phone. Trust me, they know how to operate a smartphone nowadays. So I would say some of the reluctancy we get is, sorry, but it's bullshit. Like everyone in this day and age that are working on a construction site, they know how to handle a phone. Mm. We have built Site Assist with simplicity in mind. I think that's where a lot of tech companies, they might do it the wrong way. They start with kind of the head office and the KPIs, then they develop the app. We did it the other way around to make sure that we got adoption. So we spent a year and a half just going to different types of construction sites, infrastructure sites, and we just shadowed and followed the workers and said, what colors do you want in the app? Where do you want buttons? How do you do this? How do you do that? Where do you go after you've done this? So we built the app first. Then we went to the head office and said, what KPIs do you need from this data? So if someone says, oh, our workforce can't use Site Assist, I say, well, try it. Because we will normally be able to convert anyone that is reluctant at first. They will start realizing, ooh, actually by using this, it makes my job easier. Because we try to make things easier for the people on the ground. But so that is one thing that the companies say that the workforce is not tech savvy enough. The other thing that is hard in the industry is because the workforce is a little bit older and it's the older generation, it's quite hard to push change. People say, we have done it this way for 20 years. Even though they might know that this is not the right way of doing things, it's like, oh, but you know, and some, I mean, sorry to be brutal, but a lot of the C-level executive and directors, they're going to retire in 5 years. Why are they going to spend a year at implementing tech and spending money on it when they know I can just continue exactly the way we have done it?
That makes me wonder about, do you feel that there's kind of a, is there a technology kind of border keeping people from getting involved in construction because they feel that maybe it's behind on all these things?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, we work with both construction and a lot of asset owners. So when I say asset owner, I mean the companies that own the sewage pipes or the electricity lines or whatever it might be. And there is a saying called death by utilities because the sales cycle is so long. Mm. It is really, really hard to get in and work with big construction companies and utility companies and things like that. So I think there is a boom right now, and we see, especially in the last kind of 6 to 12 months, that more and more companies are popping up on the radar. I think there is a shift, but up until now, yeah, people have stayed away from technology. And the reason for it is because our client base, they have been pretty reluctant. And a lot of construction companies also say, oh, we're not going to buy another software because we're building it ourselves internally. Yeah, and to that, I always say, well, that's the same thing as a tech company would say, we're going to build our own head office. Mm-hmm. It's not a good idea because you can't maintain it. We're a small company, but we still have 35 people that are working 100% with just that app. And then you have construction companies with a tech team of, say, 50 people, and they have built 10 apps. Yeah, it's just the continuous improvement and the support gets lost in translation.
Sure. Well, that's a topic that's actually popped up a few times today throughout these interviews.
I can imagine.
Another one's AI.
Yeah.
And I think that's just the name of the game right now for really any company beginning. You know, it's how much of it is being implemented, to what level are you sending out some ground rules? I'm curious to hear how Site Assist is implemented.
Yeah. I think the first thing I need to say is, yes, AI is a buzzword, and we need to be careful throwing it around. Just, we want to invest in AI. what's your business problem? Mm-hmm. What is it you want to solve? And then maybe we can solve it using AI. So at Cytassist, we have a data science team and an AI specialists, but we don't really consider ourselves being a big AI company. But what we do is we leverage AI to reduce the risk of incidents on site. Mm. So one example that I gave you earlier is how do we know that certain objects are present in photographs, for example, and how do we make sure it's the correct type of object that we're looking for? So is there a fire extinguisher present? Tick a box, yes. Our AI model will detect if there's a fire extinguisher. Then it will go down and look at OCR, so object character recognition, I think it's called. And it will pick up, is it a foam extinguisher, a water extinguisher, a powder extinguisher? So that's one step, and you can leverage AI in so many different ways. We're also using LLMs to kind of go through really, really large documents. So say you have uploaded a risk assessment onto Cytassist. That has to be done every single time you do a high-risk activity. You have to do a risk assessment and upload it to your safety critical process, right? They can be 50 pages, but the person who's approving and reviewing this risk assessment is only interested in 5 different things. Mm-hmm. So if you do that manually, you have to sit and scroll through 50 pages and try to find everything. There's a lot of human error going on there. So we've built, for example, a model that you can query against a PDF, for example, and it's construction specific. So you can just set your question, the AI will automatically detect, yes, this is mentioned on page 4, takes you straight there, because like by the end of the day, you will have people on a construction site, they will have to review hundreds of these every week. And if one of those reviews takes, say, 15 minutes manually, in Cytassist, we do it in 2 minutes using AI. Mm. Then all of a sudden, there you have your ROI straight away. So yes, we use AI, but we don't just throw around the word saying, oh, we're massive, powered by AI platform. Mm. I think is a lot of buzzword. And yeah, so we implement it where we think it's actually beneficial to implement it, if that makes sense.
Well, touching on just kind of that thing that makes you different, for context today, I've spoken with a company that is in the risk management sector and has parts where they touch on the same work that you do. We ran some quick numbers at the office as well. In 2025, around 137 million euros in funding went to construction tech companies.
Yeah.
Right? So the question where I'm going with all of this is, where does Cytassist differentiate itself? Where's the one thing, or it could be more than one, but just the thing that you'd say, this is what we do differently and is unique to us?
I wish I could say it's because of me, but it's not. No, I think what we've done is we have, especially around our permit module, and that's kind of our backbone, we found almost a black hole in the market. Everyone is aware of the permit to work process, but no tech company had really gone and done a deep dive into every single scenario. We were very fortunate to start working with some of the biggest companies in the UK very early on. So they became almost like a partner rather than a client. They taught us everything. We've built so many weird features that, like, what happens if David, who is a dig supervisor, is on holiday, and then Dag, who is the second person in command, he's also on holiday. What do we do then? Not many companies would build a feature for that. We did. Mm. So Cytassist is so extremely niche and fit for purpose that I can hand on heart say we are the best, especially for permits to work. There is no other software that can do what we do because we are so detailed. We have features that are used one time by 3 people and we have 28,000 users. Because we realized when that happens, when that scenario that is very unlikely to happen, when it happens, if the tech can't solve it, there is going to be a backlash and they're going to come to the tech company and say, well, we had this problem, you messed it all up, we couldn't figure it out in the app, so we had to go back to pen and paper. Mm. So I believe that that's what separates us. We've understood we are not construction experts. Our clients are, so we do not develop anything based on speculation. We only develop features that our clients ask for.
Okay. That makes me wonder about kind of where we're talking EU-wide or national-wide. Are there any kind of certifications for programs like yours? Something I could say, this is officially backed by this and is supported by that.
I mean, we have all the cybersecurity and ISO certifications and things like that. I think for us, our kind of biggest certification are the companies that we work with. We work with some of the biggest names in the industry. So, you know, one of our first clients was Balfour Beatty. Balfour Beatty is basically global, or they're the biggest company in the UK, construction company in the UK, but they operate in Hong Kong, US, other places I can't really remember. But then we also work with really big nuclear power plant, for example. So we work with Sizewell, which is owned by EDF. Mm-hmm. So I would say that's our biggest kind of testimonial and certification are the names that we work with. But also, we so far, I mean, we started the business 2021. Up until today, we have spent £0 on marketing. So we've built this business basically bootstrapped and without marketing and only done it on network and word of mouth. Now we probably will start spending a little bit more on marketing, but we believe that construction, even globally or Europe-wide, is kind of a small pond of clients. Like, you know, look at Vinci, look at Balfour Beatty. They all know each other. So if you get a really strong presence in with one of the big companies, they will share best practices and say, well, listen, Citus has managed to reduce our incidents with 50% over the last 2 years. Yeah. Then the other companies will listen to that. So those are the type of, yeah, that's what we don't really have any like big certification except the data side of things.
And how does that apply internationally?
More difficult.
So how is that? Is that something you're trying to focus on?
It's a good question. So we started off in the UK, we're based in the UK, but we're a remote first company, so our employees a little bit all over the world. What we're trying to do now is kind of our strategy has been a land and expand strategy. So for example, Balfour Beatty, they're also active in the US. So once we have a good case study with them in the UK, or once we had, then we went to the US and said, listen, this is what we've done with your sister company in the UK. Can we run some pilots or trials? Mm. So then once we do that, then we can start growing and say, oh, but you also have joint ventures with other companies in the US. Can you introduce us to them? So that's how we've done this without any marketing spend. We dare to ask for introductions from our clients, but to really grow into new markets, yeah, it's hard. I think we need to set up a team. We're going to focus on UK. We want to go into the US. Now being part of the Catalyst program with Leonard and Vinci, I think France will also be an interesting market for us, especially because of their nuclear program where we're big. But no, for sure, I find it as a startup company today, even working with big global brands, it is hard to enter a new market. It's really difficult.
Sure. I think that's it's a challenge I think any company is facing. It's a challenge, and it's a topic that we cover quite frequently in new startups, this idea of, you know, when do you make that transition? Do you make that transition? Do you maintain a European route? Do you adopt a full American person? These are all things that eventually come, I think, to any company expanding out of Europe. So
yeah, and it's also scary. When do you take the step of scaling up a team? Because like I said, we are a bootstrap company, taking in a little bit of investment from friends, family, and fools. But It's a scary journey to take. Like, ooh, do we need to invest now 1 million euros into growing into France? But how do we make sure that we're not just throwing that million away and we don't get the revenue? So I think that has been our strategy, is the organic growth and the responsible growth. We're not that company that takes large sum of funding and creates a really amazing story and a pitch deck. We are more that like, nitty-gritty, it works really well in the field, it works when you have no signal, it works in the actual world. And I think long term, that's what will make us grow into other markets, because companies talk to each other. That's what we're hoping, at least.
Okay, well, my final question here, I think it's really an easy one, but it might even be the most interesting, I think, is Where is CytAssist 5 years from now? Are there, obviously you're continuously developing new features, I'm sure, but is there some kind of big transition you see upcoming that you may be planning for?
I love that you think that that's the easiest question. World domination, maybe? I don't know. No, again, to be honest, I don't find that was probably the most complicated and in-depth question you've asked me today.
Good for the last
no,
one.
No, I think the way we look at the business, yes, we have a 3 and a 5 year plan, but it's more a vision rather than a plan. So we set goals, and those goals, there will always be safety first, save lives. That is our end goal. So we try to always say, well, this year we want to save more lives, so we want to reduce incidents even more. But of course, then behind the scene, we have a strategy to say we want to go into the US, we want to target these 5 states. We also want to grow revenue in Europe, not just UK. But as a founder of CytAssist in the last 5 years, I guess it is, one thing that I've learned is you never know what's going to happen in the next 6 months, 12 months, let alone 5 years. I feel like we have tried to make so many, in 24 months, this is what we're going to do. And then we have changed direction 9 times. So I'm actually not going to give you an answer to say, where are we in 5 years? My hope is that we are a much, much bigger company. We've gone into more markets, and we continue to develop products that are actually being used to make a difference on site.
Okay, I'm sure you will be. Thank you, Dag.
Thank you very much.
It's been a pleasure.
It has been. Thank you very much.